So the first two scriptures I want to read this morning to start off are out of the book of Matthew. I am completely prepared today. Look at this. Got my readers. This first one is in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the second scripture, also in Matthew, the last chapter, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Come and go. When I got saved, Tammy, this isn't my testimony, so don't come up and play this yet. Tammy has a cue when to come up, and we're going to close the service. I'm going to share my testimony at the end. But when I first got saved, I was ready to go. Well, I got saved, didn't I? So I'm ready. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm a brand new creature. And I wanted to talk to the people that I was working with at the time. I wanted to share. And as I have matured over the last 35 years, I realize there's a lot more preparation that goes into sharing your faith than just getting saved. There's a lot more involved. And I think it was Billy Graham said a number of years ago that I heard that he knew less after all these years of ministry than he knew when he first got saved. And I think what he means is the perspective. My knowledge is greater, but the percent that I know as compared to what God wants me to know has gotten smaller. That makes sense? I know a lot more than I did 35 years ago, but I know a lot less of what God wants me to know now. All right? So bear with me. I think that's where I want to go today. All right? So if you would turn to, well, don't turn. I'm going to just build off of that, come and then go for a minute. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit..." Are we okay with this? I'm hearing... Are you guys hearing squealing, or is it just me? Yeah, yeah. And you're working on it, Jeremy. Fantastic. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Amen? Pure milk is good, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 5, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil." So we have two scriptures that look like they contradict each other. Desire this pure spiritual milk, but then it's time to get off the milk and eat the meat, okay? They don't contradict, they go together. And sometimes you got to wash your meat down with the milk. Sometimes I do. James chapter 1. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Let me say that again because I didn't speak right. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." He also says in James chapter 3, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." So here we have James saying, slow down on your speaking. The title of the message today is "The Things I Have Learned Sharing My Faith." And when you think of that, what's the first thing you think of? Talking to somebody about the Lord, right? That's the first thing I think of. Anybody else? Right? But James is saying, slow down on your speaking. Slow down. Then you go back to Hebrews chapter 5. "Though for by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God." So it's a bit of a correction for the Hebrew church. But if we put them together, James says, be slow to speak. You shouldn't presume to be teachers. But then later, by now you should be teachers. But now. Though by now. Keep that phrase in your mind. Though by now. Because it's going to apply to all of us before I get done this morning. Hopefully. Though by now. All right? And then even Jesus' ministry, he had to go through this process. And this, again, is in Hebrews chapter 5. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus learned by suffering. Completed. He was completed by what he endured. Amen? We have faith. It's just we don't have completed faith. Abraham was 37 years from his beginning of his faith until the completion of his faith. You think about what he went through. Left his home country to a land that he didn't know where he was going. Promised a son. Tried to get a son on his own. Messed things up. Sarah passed the age of childbirth. Abraham, an old man, 90 and 100. Give birth to Isaac. And you'd think there his faith would be complete, right? But it wasn't until he offered Isaac on the altar. That's when God said in James that his faith was completed. And we're all in this journey, this process. It's not that you're not saved. It's not if Jesus comes back tomorrow, we don't get to go. It's not if I die an untimely death, I'm lost. No, we're just in process. We're still here, right? The thief on the cross said to Jesus, actually, he was on there for 6 hours. Which we know Jesus was alive on the cross for 6 hours, correct? And we know that there were two robbers crucified on either side of him. And in one gospel, it says both of them were railing on Jesus. And in another gospel, it says one of them said, hey, this guy's done nothing wrong. That means in a six-hour window, one thief changed his mind. One thief realized where he was, like the prodigal son. Look at my condition. So he turned to Jesus and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. So we get to go. It's just that the thief never had the chance to grow his faith. But he had enough. All you need is a little. Amen? I may have a little. Oh, ye of little faith. That's all of us, all right? So, there's a process. I had some other working titles as I marinated this message over in my mind. Let's see if any of them resonate with you. So, rather than things I've learned sharing my faith, it's mistakes I've made sharing my faith. I got a couple chuckles. Times I've tried to debate somebody into the kingdom. And I've won a debate, too, but I didn't win any converts, right? Can't even read my writing. Oh, how to extract my foot from my mouth. All three of them probably go together, right? And then the last one, the times I haven't shared my faith because I felt inadequate, whether because of some failing on my part, fear, or sin. Amen? I was hoping you'd say amen. Because I put myself way out right out there, and I was hoping everybody, there'd be a couple people that would agree with me on that. Turn to Galatians 5. And I'm going to start with verse 16. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to the other, that ye may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envies, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. And the like. Just in case Paul left something out, just in case you read through that list and it didn't have anything to do with you, like the 15 things he mentioned, well, he didn't get yours. He throws in and the like. Okay? But he says, those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. When we get saved, we don't lose our flesh, but we can fight our flesh. We can put our flesh down. We can get a victory, right? When you get born again, it doesn't remove your problems. When I got saved, I had to go to work the next day. Start time was the same time. I was just as tired as I was the day before. I had less on my mind, but things didn't change drastically on the outside. They changed drastically on the inside. And I worked with a bunch of ordinary guys, right? And I work with a bunch of ordinary guys now. Things don't change. It's a different job, but things don't change. I've had now four jobs in my working career, and there's been ordinary guys in every position I've had. And it's all the same stuff, right? The same stuff that was going on in high school, right? Anybody here an adult? Is the same stuff you're dealing with now than the same stuff you were dealing with in high school? Things don't change much, right? But how I reacted changed. Did things get on my nerves after I got saved? Well, of course it did. But I have the Spirit helping, and I'm learning. I'm growing. It's a proof that the Holy Spirit lives in me, that I'm able to fight these things now. It doesn't get me into heaven. Fighting them doesn't get me into heaven. God's Spirit gets me. I'm justified because He loves me. But I'm still here. I'm not a thief on the cross. I'm not seeing Him today. But I still fight. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for, to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. So what I've learned about sharing my faith, my witness is more than my words. That's point number one. My witness is more than my words. And point number two is that God has been dealing with other people that I'm to share my faith to longer than I've been dealing with them. That makes sense? He's been working on them a lot longer. Just like He was working with me a lot longer than the day I got saved. He's had it in His mind a lot longer than I've had it in my mind. If I have an opportunity to share my faith, I thank God because I didn't build that up. I got to share my faith just this month, just after Tori asked me to speak on this. And it happened exactly as the lesson I was laying out, almost like a confirmation, where I didn't have to push. You ever push too hard, trying to make something happen? Like you got all your scriptures lined up in your head and you're just going to nail the guy with them? So I'm talking to this guy, and he's talking. I'm just sitting there, minding my own business. And he just starts talking. And it took me back to when I got saved. I thought, wow, this guy's, the Holy Spirit's dealing with him just like He dealt with me. That is fantastic. And I'd throw a comment out here or there, and he'd ask me a question, and we'd share, and he's right there. I didn't start this. I just been working with him for about 3 months. This just happened this month. It's like, wow, this is fantastic. I think, Holy Spirit's been dealing with that guy for a long time. Right? Didn't have me share with him until 3 months in to our working relationship. But thank God. Amen. Thank God He's receptive. I don't know God's timing. But when I line up my scriptures and I'm ready to attack people, debate them, I don't know if it's God's timing or not. It may be. But as I found out over the last 3 or 5 years, it's probably not. It's probably me. So, my witness is more than my words. And number two, God's been at it longer than me. So, Galatians 5. There's two parts of us, right? We got our flesh nature, we got the spirit. They war against each other. Our flesh and our spirit war against each other. There's a principle of agreement in Scripture that affects many areas. If you go back to Deuteronomy, Moses said, to condemn someone of a capital crime, you have to have 2 or 3 witnesses. One's not enough. So if somebody murders somebody, you got to have 2 or 3 witnesses that saw it happen before you can punish the evildoer. That's in Deuteronomy. Jesus said, give me my scripture here. Amos said in Amos chapter 3, can two walk together except they are agreed? Jesus said in Matthew 18, where 2 or 3 agree as touching anything, it'll be done for them concerning prayer. Agreement's an important thing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, let every word be established by 2 or 3 witnesses. So I'm going to show you some witnesses today. Okay? I just showed you 2. Got your old man, and you got your new man. Right? You got your spirit, and you've got your flesh. And what we need to be effective witnesses is for those to agree. Amen? So we got to put the flesh, the acts of the sin nature, down and bear fruit of the Spirit. And we bear fruit of the Spirit through our bodies. Amen? Okay. So that's one way. So we have witnesses. So there's 2 witnesses, 2 parts that belong to us. We're to live and to walk in the Spirit. So we're to love God with all of ourselves. Deuteronomy 6, Moses said that we're to love God, the Lord our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our strength. Pastor Tori closed the service last week with a scripture I already had written down in my lesson. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He said that you may, your body, soul, and spirit may be preserved blameless until the day of Christ. So we have heart, soul, strength, spirit, soul, body. They line up, don't they? Three-part being. How are you an effective witness with a three-part being? When they all agree. Amen? Where does the conflict come in? When there's disagreement. In you or in me. Three parts. Matthew 22, Jesus says we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. So in Matthew 22, he leaves out strength. And he says mind. Does that mean doing something with our body doesn't count anymore? No, he's just adding another layer. We're to love God with our mind as well. Luke chapter 10, a lawyer came up to him and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. You know what the law says. How do you read it? He says, well, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Four parts. So we've gone from two parts to three parts to four parts. And I imagine you can divvy it up even further if we be open to the revelation. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. More parts. Now, as I went through this, and I don't know the right answer, they're probably both right, but is it thoughts and intentions of the heart, or is it thoughts and intentions of the heart? Yes. We think with our mind, don't we? But as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we think with our mind and we think with our heart. So there's four parts. And what should all four parts do? Agree. That's when we're effective. It's when we agree. And isn't that our fight? Isn't that our fight? Isn't that our struggle? Isn't that what you struggled with thinking about coming to church this morning? Isn't that what you struggled with when you had that family in this week? Just you guys, not me. Isn't that what you're struggling with when you have to go to work tomorrow? And you wish, why didn't they just give me Monday off too? But nope, you got to go to work tomorrow. Anybody? I got to go tonight. So nanny, nanny, boo-boo to you. Thank God. Thank God. We have all these opportunities to agree. And that's our struggle. So what happens when we are not in agreement? What happens when we get out of agreement? I'm going to give you some scriptural references. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I have a modern Bible. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge and have all faith, as to remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. There's two areas of your life out of agreement. Amen? That's one witness. Let me give you another witness. James chapter 2. James 2. What does it profit a man, my brethren, if a man say he has faith but not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet give them not the things needful to the body, what does it profit? Your words and your actions out of agreement. How many of us have done that? I'll pray for you. Easy way out. I've done it. Out of agreement. 3 days later, I never prayed. I should call them. Oh, oops. I had a plan this year to call three people that I used to work with. And I text occasionally with one of them on a regular basis. And I got him before Thanksgiving, because he's always shooting me something at 7 in the morning of a holiday. And I got him early at Thanksgiving this year, like a week. And I sent him an email, and I sent him a little picture or something, and I said, hey, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving morning, he sends me a text. He says, well, I knew you wouldn't text me, so I'm texting you happy Thanksgiving. And I said, well, bud, just go back and read your email, because I already sent it to you last week. He goes, oh, I haven't checked it yet. So, but I got him. Now, I was going to do three people this Christmas, and what day is today? The 30th. Man, I forgot. Now, I did get this one guy on Christmas. We went back and forth, but he beat me. And the other two I haven't seen or talked to for probably 6 or 8 months. One's retired, one took another job. It's a little less exhausting. And I've talked to both of them, but it's, you know, just didn't happen. Thought about it, but my thoughts and my actions weren't in agreement. So I'll do it. Well, not today. Maybe tomorrow if I remember. Maybe Tuesday. No, Tuesday's a holiday. Maybe Wednesday. I don't know. What am I going to, I don't know. Why? Because things are out of agreement. This causes conflict in me. I feel bad. That's minor stuff, by the way. You know, we can get into major stuff if you want to. Maybe we will later. But we have to be in agreement. So that is James 2. Luke 6. Luke 6. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Out of agreement. Lord, Lord. So easy to call Lord, Lord. But then when it actually comes down to obeying him in the stuff, it's so easy to just say, well, you know, this is how I am. I've had a bad week. I've had a bad month. I've had a bad year. Well, look what didn't happen. That's just in my talking. How easy it is it to stop giving when you have a need? Things get out of agreement. It's easy, isn't it? These are things we have to guard against. This is all leading back to things I've learned sharing my faith, by the way. All right? I'll give you another witness. This is in Acts chapter 8. There was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery and amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God, which is called great. And they gave heed to him. Yada, yada, yada. But then Philip came preaching good tidings, and Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, beholding the signs and great miracles he wrought, and he was amazed. Now when the apostles that were in Jerusalem heard Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who when they came down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it was as yet not fallen on them in the city. Only they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. I think his intentions were right, maybe. You know, when you're young in the Lord and you don't know a lot, or you're, say, 35 years and you don't know as you should yet, Hebrews 5, it's kind of, you kind of miss some steps. But you can't buy God's grace. It was bought for you. You can't buy his mercy. You can't buy justification. You can't buy sanctification. It's all given. It's all given freely. So here's Simon. He's a new convert. We're in the same chapter. He's a new convert. Give me this power also. Offered him money. And Peter said, thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Out of alignment. He's out of alignment, out of agreement. Repent therefore of thy wickedness and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be given thee. Peter saw he was full of gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That's what Peter saw. I didn't see that. I saw a guy who was, you know, doing the best he could. You know? But Peter saw. Simon was out of agreement. Ananias and Sapphira. Remember they sold a piece of property, laid the money at the apostles' feet, but they kept back a little for themselves? And the question was, is this the price you paid? And what'd they say? Yeah. Well, mostly, but they didn't say mostly. They said, yeah. This is serious business. They fell down dead at the apostles' feet. That's scary stuff. Do you tithe? Careful of your answer. It's awful quiet in here. Do I tithe? Well, on the gross or the net? I don't know. On everything God's given me? Does it have to be cash? Be other things? You tithe your time? I'm just throwing stuff out there, seeing what sticks, right? Are we in agreement? This is serious business, to be in agreement. It affects our testimony. Matthew chapter 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and the platter, and the outside thereof may become clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye outwardly appear unto even though ye also outwardly appear righteous unto man, but inwardly ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And it goes on. Out of agreement. Right? So we can look good on the outside and be all full of junk on the inside. We can say the right words, and our thoughts are way over here. I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you. I'm thinking about something else. Out of agreement. Things I've learned, I got to be in agreement. I don't want to end on a negative note on this part. I want to end on a positive note on this part. So turn to Matthew 21, parable of the two sons. Where is the parable of the two sons? And I know it's in here because I looked at it this morning. 21:28. Thank you. It's right in the middle of a paragraph, isn't it? Yes. But what thank ye? I was looking for the beginning of the paragraph. These new Bibles are just so frustrating. But what thank ye? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and he went. Then came to the second. And said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They were both out of agreement in the beginning, right? But one changed his mind. Let's just presume he changed his words, and he went. And the actions are more important than the words. Not saying the words aren't important, but the actions are more important. And that ends us on a positive note, doesn't it? That we can change. We make mistakes. If anyone says he doesn't sin, he's a liar. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a great promise for already saved people. Amen? We can change. We can make a decision to do something different. John 13:35. I printed these out. John 13:35. Perfect. But this, by this all will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Things I've learned sharing my faith. Loving other people is a great witness. And then John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. People are watching. They're listening, but they're watching all the time. They're watching when you don't think they're watching all the time. And the Bible says you're supposed to, your deeds are more important than your words. 1 Peter chapter 3, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, and even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You can win people without a word. Anybody ever let anybody to the Lord without a word? I don't know, because I didn't talk about it. But the scripture says it can happen. Now that's directed to wives. But it's applicable to all of us. Amen? Philippians chapter 1. The Lord revealed this scripture to me probably 20 years ago. And I've read it different versions, and, you know, it's kind of the thrust of it, just to me, I'll tell you what the thrust is when I get done reading it. But I thought, wow, that's amazing. You know? Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Your conduct is a proof to your adversaries of their perdition. It tells the enemy over and over and over again that he's doomed to destruction. The same enemy that's got unbelievers bound up. And it's also a proof of your salvation, your conduct. I've changed my conduct. Some people would say not enough. But when you, if you'd have known me when I was 19 and 20, you just said, you know. I mean, you may say that now, but you'd have really said it then. So my conduct has changed. Not that I haven't made mistakes, not that I haven't tripped up, not that I haven't let my emotions get the best of me. But what have I done? I've grown. And the fact that I want to do what God wants me to do, however feeble my attempts are sometimes, is still proof that he's in me. Amen? It's still proof that he's in me. And I tell you what, I worry that it's enough. I do. Just me personally. I worry. Make every effort to be found in him. Every effort. Hallelujah. He's in us. Believe me, if all this reformation of my conduct was all on me, I'd have given up a long time. Believe me, it's a lot of work without a promise to go with it. So thank God. Our conduct is a proof of perdition for some and a proof of salvation to me and to you. Hallelujah. Things I've learned sharing my faith. Where am I? Number two. The Holy Spirit has been ministering longer and more effectively, the Father drawing, the Son revealing, to bring his own to himself. I'm just part of that little puzzle. He uses me at times. Sometimes it doesn't seem like enough. Sometimes it seems like too much. I'm still in the world. You're still in the world. We're still fighting our flesh. We're still overcoming. We're still learning. Anybody ever gone like 3 days without reading the Bible? Or am I the only one? I'm putting myself out there again. Just me? Thank you. Somebody has their hand way up. There'll be an altar call at the end and everybody will be up here. So, but you see, because you live in the world, these things happen. Who watched a football game last night? There were two of them. Playoffs. Anybody watch a football game last night? Nobody watched a football game last night? All a bunch of... One, two... Pastor Tori. Well, he didn't have to do the service today. I was working on my lesson. And guess what? I checked the score a couple times. And I checked it this morning when I got up. Just saying. You got to fight. You got to fight. That's funny stuff. That's light-hearted stuff. But we have to fight. And God wants to use us. But remember, he's busy himself. He stopped working. His rest ended a long time ago, and he works to this day. Intercedes to this day. Wants to shed his love abroad in people's hearts to this day. His voice goes out into all the world today. Amen? You know, it's December 30th, and I don't know, maybe some of you are waiting until the 1st to start changing things. So you know when a good time to change is? Today. Well, yesterday would have been better, but yesterday it was today. But today is today. Now you can go with that logic and say, well, tomorrow will be today too. Well, you don't know about tomorrow yet because it's not today yet. But God's voice, today is a good day to change. You know, I'm going to give an altar call here at the end, but you can repent right now. You can believe right now. You can receive right now. You don't have to wait. Quit carrying all that stuff around. Why do you want to do that? I don't want to do that. When I got saved, I was 20 years old. Guy had been witnessing me for a couple, 3 weeks. I had known him for over a year. We were able to work together 8 hours a day and have conversation. And every conversation wasn't 8 hours for 3 solid weeks, but it was a couple hours this day, a couple hours that day. And he shared his faith with me and shared his testimony. And, you know, that's a great way, by the way. I just throw this in. Jesus delivered a demoniac. And the demon-possessed man, after he was healed, wanted to go with Jesus. And said, Jesus says, no, go home and just tell the good things God's done for you. How hard is that? How easy is that? I play golf, by the way, as a recreation on occasion. And I was talking to Phil this morning. And he and I have talked about golf. And I remember a few years ago, I taught a lesson on golf on a Wednesday night. And there's a principle that if you want to hit the ball farther, you got to relax. In baseball, it's the same thing. Anybody know Ryan Howard? That name sound familiar? Played with the Philadelphia Phillies. Anybody? He's a big guy, like 6'4", probably 250, 260. And I listened to him give a hitting instruction. He said, because you think a guy that big, no wonder he has so many home runs. Look how big he is. Look how powerful he is. You know what he said? Got to stay loose. It's whipping the bat. That's how you hit home runs, whipping the bat. It's not your size. It's how fast you make that bat swing. The less you try, the less effort you squeeze, the less you try to debate and win, the more effective you can be. Amen? So, his testimony to me was him just sharing. He just backed off. He knew the Holy Spirit was working. I didn't have, just like the guy I was telling you about that I was able to share for my faith with this week or this month. You know how many times I looked at him and said, "You said that. You said that. I didn't say that. You said that." You know what the Bible says? What you just said. He didn't know. That's the proof that the Holy Spirit's working on him. I'm just sharing God's faith, really. When you get down to it, not my faith, it's God's faith. So, back to my testimony. So, I got saved January 1984. I thought I knew the date. I thought I knew the day, but I looked it up on the computer, and it wasn't the day I thought, and it wasn't the number I thought. I thought it was January 12th, and it was a Monday, but January 12th isn't a Monday. So somewhere, my memories got messed up. But it was January, and it was 1984. So 35 years next month, I've been saved. And I didn't know squat when I got saved. I just knew that I was carrying a heavy burden, and the guy said, "You just need to surrender." And as he led me through a sinner's prayer, the weight was lifted. I was in a 9-passenger station wagon. It was 3:30 in the afternoon. I was in a gravel parking lot off of Fifth Avenue. Now, if you want to get saved, what I suggest you do is find somebody with a 9-passenger station wagon, go down to off Fifth Avenue, find a gravel parking lot, 3:30 on a Monday in January. It doesn't happen that way, does it? We all get saved the same way. But our circumstances are different. That's what makes it my testimony, and that's what makes it your testimony. But the truth is, you've received Christ. The truth is, you've surrendered to Him. The truth is, you've confessed your sin. The truth is that God's changing you. Amen? And the truth is, all His promises are for you. Hallelujah. So as I've grown in my faith over the past 34 years and 11 months, here's some of the stuff that I've learned. Ephesians 1:4. I believe I have these written down. Well, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." I didn't know that, January 1984, but I know it now. He chose me before the foundation of the world. Thank God. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said in John 15, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Remember the bumper sticker back in the 70s and 80s, "I found it"? No, you didn't. You were it, actually. He found you. He found me. The lost sheep was me. Pearl of great price was me. By the way, a pearl, I was just reading this morning, a pearl is a foreign object that gets in an oyster. So He put in me what He wanted to. That's a whole other lesson. We won't get there. I'll get off on a rabbit path and we'll never get back. Jeremiah 1:5. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." That last sentence is a word of knowledge to Jeremiah, but the first part belongs to us. He formed us in the womb. Actually, He knew us in Adam. First Adam. Kick out of the garden, Adam. We were in His loins. He knew us then. So He knew us before the foundation of the world. He knew us in Adam. He knitted me to 1963 was when I was born. Do your math. I was born end of August 63. So 8 months, 1 month in 62, and 8 months in 63, He was knitting me together in my mother's womb. I didn't know that. I didn't know that 35 years ago, but I know it now. Thank God. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When did he die? Well, we go say foundations of the world, but he died 2,000 years ago. And I was on his mind, and you were on his mind when he died. He's got a lot more skin in the game sharing the faith than I do. Amen? He knew me then. Hallelujah. He knew me then. John 6:44. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up the last day." So while I thought in error for a time that I came to God, Jesus, the Father, drew me to Jesus. I didn't even know it. That's happening with the friend I was telling you about as well. That's probably happened with some of you right here this morning. The Father's drawing you. That's why you're here. That's why your heart's beating. I'll give you one more verse. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." So the Father draws you to the Son, and the Son reveals the Father to you. And where am I involved in all that? I'm not. I'm just a recipient. So what I've learned sharing my faith, that every part of me needs to be in agreement. That's the practical working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's me learning. That's me growing. That's my faith being expanded. That's me praying, "God, help me with my unbelief." That's me recognizing my inadequacy and confessing it as sin and him forgiving my sin and showing me the right way. Amen? That's what I've learned sharing my faith. And number two, God's more involved than I am. And God really doesn't have to have me to lead somebody to Christ. He doesn't have to, but he wants to use me. He wants to use me. I want to ask everybody to bow their head, close their eyes. If you're here this morning and that speaks to you, it's not me speaking, it's just the Holy Spirit speaking. I don't say that in an egotistical way. I don't want you to misunderstand that, you know, God's, I can't make you hear the Lord. God intervenes. So if you're here this morning and that speaks to you, never given your life to Christ, never received him as Lord, never confessed him as Lord, never surrendered, and you'd like to do that, we can do that right now. Just like the first scripture I read, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He wants to remove all that guilt, all that inadequacy you've been carrying around up until this day, and he wants to replace it with an easy yoke. He wants to give you his Spirit. If that speaks to you this morning, if you just slip your hand up. I see your hand. Anybody else? Just a couple more seconds. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. If that's speaking to you today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Because if you do, you just got to keep carrying that junk around. But you can give it to him. And he'll put on you something that's easy. When I got saved, after I said the sinner's prayer, the guy looked at me and said, "That weight's gone." And he pointed to his chest and he pointed to my chest. "That weight's gone in." And it was. It was gone. I didn't fully understand, but the weight was gone. One more offer before I close in prayer. Anybody? We had a few hands raised, so I'm going to ask everybody just to pray after me as I pray. Dear God in heaven, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I confess to you that I'm inadequate in myself to save myself, and I'm tired of carrying this junk around. I believe in your great work to save me. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you, God, raised him from the dead. And as Scripture declares, I am free. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.